morning. For those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Benny. Why am I here? I'm the pastor of evangelism and outreach, and I get to share the last message of the year, so I'm honored by that. I want you to think about a couple of things this morning. Our evangelism team is going to be ready for what happens. They'll be up front later on in the service to help maybe you respond to what God is leading you to do. And so there's your teaser. I'm just warning you now. Life happens fast. When entering this new year, I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about this. Did you finish what you were supposed to finish this year? Maybe you're thinking about your last year's New Year's resolution. Did that get done? You know, did you finish? And I want you to wrestle with these questions intensely. What is your finish line? Do you even have one? What must you do today if you don't have one to start what your finish line may be? Is it about Christ? Is it about salvation? That's what I'm going to be talking about. Is it about being baptized? Is that part of your finish line this morning that you can choose? And I want you to think about this. How will you love your neighbor? I know those don't seem like they go together, but I want you to think about that. See, I've come to the realization over the years, and I've known this for some time, and maybe you have too, that life itself is this miraculous, marvelous thing. But it also is something that goes so quick. It goes so fast. The scriptures call it but a breath. Life happens. And the question becomes, what will you do with it? Because it does happen so fast. See, I want to do life a certain way. I want to do life where I feel like I've meant something and I've done something. I want to do life where I feel like I've changed something. And more importantly, I want to do life like I feel like I've changed someone else's life. See, I received the love of Christ when I came to God. And all I've ever thought about in the years that I've had is, how do I share the love of Christ to others? In other words, how do I love my neighbor? And I want you to think about that as we talk about that this morning. See, the two greatest commands in Scripture are the love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the other one is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so I want you to think about that for a moment. What would it mean if you were hurt, what would you want someone else to do for you? If you were in a pit and couldn't get out, wouldn't you want someone else to come alongside? Maybe you got stuck in the snow when it came and you couldn't get out. Don't you want someone else to help you push that vehicle? See, there's something about our neighbor that says to us, I want people to love me that same way. And we're called to do that. But do you even know who your neighbor is? How many of you have lived in your home and don't know the neighbor down the street? I grew up in inner city Cleveland, and all the neighbors knew who we were. And I knew the evidence of that because by the time I would get home, my mom would know what we had already done wrong. See, everyone knew each other. And so, but I don't know if it's the same way today. And yet we are called to do that every day of our lives, to follow those two great commandments. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. But life is quick. Life happens really fast. In James chapter 4, you find out about don't boast about tomorrow. Because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what it's going to be like. In Proverbs, it says the same thing in chapter 27, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. There's something about this that I think leads us to pretend that it's longer than it is. And yet it happens like that. The idea is that life is just a breath, fleeting. What will you do with your last moments? What passion would you go after? How will you finish? See, in the book of Genesis chapter 6, we find out that life only lasts a little bit. See, it says, when men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful and they married any of them they choose. And then the Lord said this, my spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be numbered to 120 years. To 120. Life is limited, and at best, if you've done everything perfectly and God allows it, you're only going to get 120. I found out this morning from people who were in the service that were 90, they were like, man, I got 30 more. I don't know if that's going to happen. But I do know that it's fast. Knowing this, what will you do with your years? Because again, at most, you're only going to get 120 of them. 120. This scared me the other day. I felt that my heart sunk deeply when I heard that someone had died around the church, a homeless guy, not very far from here. And see, why it scared me deeply is because that week before I was at the corner over here of the church, there was a homeless guy sitting down. His name was Ian from Scotland, Ian O'Malley. And I started chatting with him and, you know, got to the conversation of, I think what I do best. And I shared the gospel and we talked. And I'd found out that his dad had passed away that year before. And one of his dad's regrets on his deathbed was, I wish I'd gone to the States and traveled around. And so Ian O'Malley was fulfilling that wish, traveling around all of the U.S. and went to Starbucks with him, ended up taking him to Pilot, the gas station up north, so that he could go maybe to his next place. I don't know. I haven't seen him since. But what scared me the most when I'd heard that the homeless guy had died was that Ian. And what terrified me in a way was, did I share the gospel the right way? Did I say the right things? Did I act in the right way to Ian? Should I even made it more purposeful and say, you need to do it now? And I drove from home when I found this out. I drove to where they said he was. And by the time I got there, everybody was already gone, cleared out. And I've seen it all. I've been on search and rescue. I've been in the military for 22 years in war zones. I've seen death. But this one bothered me. This one got to me. And I drove. And I found out it wasn't Ian. And it's brought some relief. But then I thought, but this guy, who shared with him? Who showed him the gospel? Who talked about Christ to him? Who maybe had an opportunity to talk about salvation to him, and did they take it? Because life happens fast. See, we pretend that we have longer than we do, I think. We live believing, I'll wake up tomorrow. And yet, I think it's a mirage. I don't think that's true, but we act like it is. What else tells me that life is short and but a breath? You see, I'm one of six brothers. And out of my brothers, there's two of us that have passed away. I have three older ones and two of them are gone. And I live with that. The year I graduated in 1987 is when my older brother died. And I wasn't following the gospel then. I wasn't living for God then. And so for me, Joe and John who have passed, I wondered, do they know? Will I see them? And ultimately, I have no real answer to that. But I do know this. I believe this. I believe God makes every effort. I think he takes advantage of every moment. I think he tries to peer into our lives in any chance he can to take advantage of the idea, hey, come to me. Follow me. And so I've got to believe that with Joe and John, that God did everything he could. But I don't know. It'll always be a question. Now, I know John heard the gospel from me. By the time John had died, I had been following God. I know he heard me say the words, but I don't know. His life was gone. See, in the Psalms, it says this, the life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. Now, I don't know about you, but I feel like we keep ourselves in a place where we just think, I've got plenty of time. I can wait. See, that's what my brother tells me. I'll sit next to him on a holiday. He'll be here or over here. I won't say a word. He'll look at me. I'll look at him. I know. I got plenty of time. Like, I didn't say anything. He just feels the pressure. And I don't think it's me. I mean, it could be a little bit, because he knows I'm going to say something. But before I can, he'll say, I know, I got plenty of time. And I think to me, he knows we've had two brothers pass. He wants to think he's got plenty of time. But do you really? Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says this, and I know this is about Jesus' death, but I want to not only bring that in because it's most important about coming to Christ, but I want you to hear something in the end too. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day and be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall not happen to you. And Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And then Jesus said this to his disciples. Think about this moment. If any one of you would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his own soul? Because that's how we do life, I think. We look for the next shiny object. We look for that next thing. We look for this or that. And we think, I've got plenty of time. I can go after all of this. And going after all of this just takes you further and further away from what God is calling you to do in order for you not only to love your neighbor, but to cross your own finish line. To cross your own finish line. If life is so quick and we know it, why do we pretend we have all the time in the world? See, when I was in junior high, I used to hear that date long into the future, that date of when you graduated, and you were like, oh, it's never going to come. It's so far away. And you're like, and then everyone who was 25 was what? Man, you're old. And you think, we're never going to graduate. And then it comes. And I graduated in 1987, and now I think, whoo, it was so long ago. Where has time passed? And that's what begins to happen, I think. People who were older than me used to always say, life is quick. And I was like, what are you talking about? Now I'm telling younger people, life is quick. And they look at me, what are you talking about? Because it is. It happens so fast. And yet we're called to love our neighbor and cross this finish line. And I want you to think about those things as we end the year. What is yours? And are you going after it? Because the two greatest commands of loving the Lord your God and loving your neighbor are real. And yet, if I don't know my neighbor, how can I even love on him in the first place? How can I love on him in the first place? And not only that, how will I ever have an opportunity to share the love of Christ? As evangelism comes up and a team comes up in a little bit, and as the worship team finishes out this service, you're going to have an opportunity to respond, to look at Jesus and maybe say, that's what I need. To look at baptism and say, I don't know if I've done that. That's what I need. The water is warm. I used to live in Canyon City and we baptized in the Arkansas River. It's freezing all the time. This is nice. See, the book of James chapter 19 shares something that's really important to me, almost the verse that I just love. And it says this, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back again, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sin. That to me is beautiful. And it's what we need to do in our lives. I can remember many, many times people talking to me about God. And I would say, it's okay. Yeah, that's good for you, not for me. Drink my beer. Do whatever sinful thing I was doing, chase that girl. And then when I came, it all made sense. And I could look back and try to look back anyway. How many times was God trying? It was a lot. And then I said, okay, if you need me to do this, I'll do it. And I received so much love. I don't know if that's what I was looking for, to be honest. I was having a good time being a sinner. But when I received it, when that happened, it radically changed my life. As Pastor Brian said, I became a new creation. I was under new management. And it's been the best thing in my life. On hindsight, I have been all over the world. I've been to more countries than I can count. I've seen death real. And I know this, that the love that I get received from God changes everything. And that love is amazing. That love is amazing. Recently, I was at a funeral, and there was a lady there. They described her life, and they said this, man, she prayed about everything. The little things and the big things. And I was like, oh, her daughter, and I was weeping. And then they said this about her. That's a quote. They said, I've prayed and God has answered all my prayers. I was like, wow. She finished well. In Romans chapter 10, it says this, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is your mouth that you confess and are saved. So as the worship team plays, as the evangelism team comes forward to help those who might need or have a question, I want you to respond. I'm begging you. I'm not prideful. I'll beg. This year we've had 74 baptisms. Yeah. In 2017, we had 75. I want to break the record. And this is my last day to do it. Will you help?